It's Thursday, August 23rd, 2012. I'm Alex Jones, and this is another special, original edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Straight ahead.
Tonight, on the InfoWars Nightly News, Alex charges the front line with three powerful patriots. First, John Whitehead, attorney for decorated Marine Brandon Robb, who was detained in a psychiatric ward, had this to say about Brandon's treatment.
This morning, Brandon called me. He said, John, I'm freaked out. I said, what's wrong? Because he's really usually so relaxed. He said, a psychiatrist just visited me, and he said, I'm going to brainwash you, and I'm going to force medications on you. I'm coming back.
Also, Steve Pachanik closes the book on the new SEAL Team 6 story. New info warrior, the bionic Dan Bondi, steps into the ring to reveal how he plans to make the globalists tap out. And Texas judge prepares for civil war if Obama is reelected. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Welcome back to this extended edition tonight. Dr. Steve Pachanik with breaking news is going to be joining us again. The head of the Rutherford Institute with very chilling news dealing with the First Amendment, people being arrested for their speech all over the country. He confirmed in our earlier interview that analysis. We're going to have Dan Bondi here in a moment do the first part of the news, and then I'm going to interview him a bit dealing with assaults on children by the globalists through their government re-education brainwashing camps known as public schools. But first, he's going to cover very exciting news with a county judge. That's basically the city council over the county in Lubbock coming out and saying, hey, world government's taking over. We've got to get ready to resist it. So amazing things are happening right now. And Dan Bondi is going to break down some of the news. Dan, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Alex. Prepare for civil war. Prepare for U.N. troops marching on our streets, says Judge Tom Head. And of Lubbock County, reactions continue. This is off a CBS article stating that reactions continue after the Texas leader issued a public warning for what he calls a civil war and a possible invasion of U.N. troops if President Barack Obama, Barry Satoro, is reelected. Lubbock County Judge Tom Head is convinced that Mr. Obama winning the second term would lead to a revolt by the American people. And he's pushing a tax increase for the district's attorney office and the Lubbock County Sheriff's Department. He says the money is needed to beef up its sources in the case President Obama wins in November election. Now, in light of the story here, I see this coming. I mean, people are sick of Obama. They're sick of the Obama administration. But unfortunately, all people are not aware of the right-wing, left-wing paradigm. They're going to go for the Mitt Romney, for the great conservative Christian of Paul Ryan. And you know, this is a false pretense of right versus left. And, you know, they're beefing up the American patriots. I mean, you see patriot groups rising all over the place. Yeah, you got the Tea Parties, all these activist groups going after, say, we need to get rid of Obama. And Judge Head is right. I mean, we are looking at a possible civil war, I really think. And so we think the establishment is going to actually move over and bring in the next puppet, Mitt Romney. And, you know, just watch out, folks, because if Obama wins again, I mean, our country's in trouble. But either way, Obama or Romney, we're still in trouble. The New World Order has got its grips on politics, folks. And I'm going to move on to the next article. Department of Homeland Security and the FBI warned that anarchists may use IEDs at conventions. And they're pointing out to the GOP convention coming up. And the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI have issued a bulletin to law enforcement warning that anarchist extremists may use IEDs or improvised explosive devices at the Republic and Democratic National Conventions. And we got the FBI and DHS asses to the high-confidence anarchist extremists will target infrastructure in Tampa and Charlotte when potentially significant impacts on public safety and transportation, CNN reports. And again, they're putting the fear of God into people. You know, watch out for the terrorists. You know, your terrorists could be living in your backyard, upstairs, next door, wherever. You got to watch out because anybody could be a terrorist. They're going to blow up the malls. They're going to blow up your shopping centers, everything else. But, they want to put the scare of terrorism, the boogeyman in the closet, into you people to say, hey, they're going to attack political groups, conventions, I should say, with IEDs. More propaganda? I think so. And I want to move on to the next article, again by CBS News reporting. Absolute prepare to call off GOP convention and Isaac threatens Tampa. And this is issued from the mayor. Mayor Bob Buckhorn told CNN that he is more concerned about the safety of his people than holding the convention. And he quotes, absolutely, we're prepared to call it off. Buckhorn explained to CNN, I mean human safety and human life trumps politics. But the thing is, you know, folks, we know the government has the technology, you know, HAARP and everything else. We know the government has the technology to manipulate storms, cause earthquakes, everything else. And anybody knows about geoengineering, they have the power to do so. And could this be a tactic to for further agendas? Who knows? But anyway, the mayor is prepared to call off this whole convention. And we're going to move on to next, BBC News. We got a U.S. team invents advanced cancer tests using Google. And it says a 15-year-old high school student, Jack Andraker, likes to kayak and watch U.S. television and show glee. And when time permits, he also likes to do advanced research in one of the most respected cancer laboratories in the world. And Jack created a pancreatic cancer test that is 168 times faster and considerably cheaper than gold standard in the field. And again, you know, you got these people, there's a lot of people out there, folks, who come up with these great ideas. I mean, look at Nikola Tesla, for example, and they come up with these great ideas. You know, they come up with, you know, a possible cure for something. Then you get the government, or the elite, I should say, that like to hijack something good and turn it all around. That's why we got experiment on the troops, vaccines and everything else. I mean, it's total, it's disgusting, folks. It really is. And, it's another story for another time with that, but I want to move on. Business as usual at the Federal Reserve if Romney is elected. Glenn Hubbard, Romney's economic advisor, told Reuters he would advise the Republican presidential candidate that Bernanke should get, quote-unquote, get every consideration and stay at the helm of the private bankster-owned Federal Reserve. And, quote, Ben is a model technocrat. He gets paid nothing for kicking around all the time. I think they ought to pat him on the back, Hubbard said of his longtime pal. And he quotes again, I may or may not agree with him, but that's very different from saying I question his motives. I wish politicians would stop doing that. He added, making an indirect reference to Ron Paul, who was questioned Bernanke on the numerous occasions as a member of the House Committee on the Financial Services. Mr. Hubbard is a life member of the Council on Foreign Relations, known as the CFR, a former Deputy Assistant Secretary at the Department of Treasury, and it was a chairman of the Council of Economics Advisor under Bush. So his fondness for the Federal Reserve System is quite understandable. He, in fact, was considered for the position of chairman by the Federal Reserve when Alan Greenspan retired, but his buddy Bernanke ended up with the job. Now, this is the Mitt Romney folks that quoted, I'm too important to go to war with the Vietnam. Now, if you look back to our founding fathers, how many of our founding fathers were war generals that fought in wars, the Revolution, the War of 1812, and so on? And they were great leaders, folks. Military make the great leaders, I believe. I mean, look at General George Washington, the best president we ever had. I mean, he ruled this country with an iron fist. They wanted to make him king, but he said, no, yeah, we'll go to an election thing. And that's what a leader is, folks. A leader to say, I'm too important to go to war. You know, right there, that should put a red flag in your head, say, you know what, this guy is a coward. He's a puppet for the New World Order, and we know if he gets in, it's just going to be Obama in a Republican suit. That's all that's going to happen. And we're going to move on. Geriatric Patsy's sentenced to prison following FBI entrapment. Again, pre-crime, folks, Minority Report. You ever see the movie? If you haven't, I suggest you go watch the movie. It's an old movie. You could rent it anywhere, whatever. You could probably YouTube it, whatever. Minority Report. You'll see what I'm talking about pre-crime here. And it goes on to say two elderly men and the feds are insisting that they were dangerous terrorists have been sentenced to what may amount to death sentences. And they didn't do nothing yet. That's the thing. And two Georgia men were sentenced Wednesday to 5 years each in prison for trying to get an unregistered explosive and an illegal gun silencer in what prosecutors describe as a plot to attack government targets, reporting from the AP News. One was a 73-year-old Frederick Thomas, and another 68-year-old Dan Roberts, were sentenced to a maximum of allowing the plea agreement that they reach with the government. In what is now a standard pattern in domestic terror cases, the men were cajoled by the FBI informant who hyped the plot to kill government workers in an apparent effort to win leniency, and six sex crime charges against them. Informant Joe Sims had allegedly molested his stepdaughters. And now this is the pattern, folks. I mean, just like the shootings, this is the pattern, what they want you to believe right here. They bring up crimes against people. Okay, well, yeah, they had crimes in the past, whatever, to justify they're going to hype these people up to do crimes. I mean, look at the shooters there. How quick do they bring up the bad stuff they did or whatever? Just to pacify the people, to say, oh, these people are terrorists. So that guy next door that's a little weird, watch out, because he could be a terrorist, too. You know, it's just unbelievable, folks. It really is. And, again, this is pre-crime, Minority Report stuff. George Orwellian stuff. I mean, if you can't see that, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. And I want to move on to our last story, and, actually, it's the beginning of many, about kids. And, Alex, I want to get your take in a minute. This is about websites accused of collecting data on children. Now, Alex, what is your take on this?
Dan, give us more on this report and your take on it.
I think it's very disturbing because all of us, I mean, I have kids, a lot of people have kids, and kids are a very important issue in a lot of our lives, but this has really touched me, this story and many others I got to report, and some of past stories, but it's very relevant to what we're going to talk about. And one, cops interrogating a family for allowing the kids to play outside. I mean, come on, I know when I was a kid, I was outside all day till the sun went down. And so, my mother had to yell at the door to scream and yell, call me in the house.
And, well, someday it'll be. I remember that my grandpa had a mommy and a daddy and wasn't grown in a test tube. It'll be like, arrest him for thought crime.
Absolutely. It's a sin.
There were never parents.
Yeah, you know, it's a criminal offense to have your kids play outside, folks. And on with the article, it says a family has been harassed by social services for police for a crime of allowing their children to play outside, and another example how this nanny state is running America. And it was a mother in Virginia. She was interrogated by police four times and visited by social services twice after children were spotted playing outside unsupervised.
Oh, how evil. Oh,
God forbid.
Even in rural areas, they're saying, you don't play outside. Get back in there and watch television and drink fluoride water.
Absolutely. Keep pumping the fluoride to the kids. Get your
Which
kids
admittedly
back.
Kills them. Even Harvard admits it. But that's loving. Just don't play outside.
Exactly.
Now, at the beach, if control freaks walk over and go, do you have enough sunscreen on your children? And they never have kids. They're like these weird anti-humanoid fake liberals. And I'm like, have you ever shut up and get out of my face? but now they call police if they see your kid with a little bit of, you know, the old copper tone ad of a yep. little girl with a dog pulling her pants down and she's got a sunburn on her back. Oh, that? Take your children away to the government dungeon. Yeah.
Let's bust down your door, call CPS. We're going to take your kids. Because, God forbid, you don't let them be indoctrinated by the New World Order. God forbid that. God forbid you don't let them be controlled by the system in our schools today. So let's bang your door down with CPS. Take your kids because you're not pumping fluoride or vaccinations in them.
Even though they're five times more likely to abuse your children.
Absolutely.
Doesn't matter. Let's just ignore numbers and facts.
And the ADA even went on record to say, yes, fluoride is not safe for infants. This is on record.
But that's why at the store it's everywhere for infants.
Absolutely.
Because they want to get them while they're young and make sure that brain's damaged.
Exactly.
Because they're nice people.
Exactly.
Very nice, loving.
And this article goes on to say the mother said that despite the fact that she is careful about allowing the kids to play outside or stay over other people's houses, because of related childhood trauma of her own, she is being harassed by authorities because she is one of the only two families that allows my children to play outside in the neighborhood. And she said just today, quoted, I allowed all four of my children that were all together to play in the field adjacent to my house.
Oh.
I could literally see them outside in my kitchen window. My 10-year-old ran home to tell my
Arrest husband, her now.
Yeah, arrest her. And
But then when the foster parents the state gives them to, they're allowed to drown in the pool, whatever. That's never an issue, that you're five times more likely to die in CPS custody, seven times more likely to be sexually abused. But that's not an issue. Nobody's going to watch them.
Oh, look at the Oath Keepers, baby. I forgot the young, it was an infant girl. They got her back from CPS care, and the diaper was full of blood, and come to find out it was sexually molested while on the CPS care. And it was, I think it was Maine and New Hampshire. And there was that.
Yeah, well, they suspected that. Yeah, just terrible news. I remember that story. Moving on to the one I was mentioning, the loving RFID.
Oh, the RFID, which is
San Antonio,
Texas. So let me get to that.
Well, I didn't mean to get you out of order. Start back where you're at. Let's run to these articles. We've got a bunch of them here.
All right, well, another one here: McDonald's, Nickelodeon, all these places are collecting data on your children. I mean, they have all these, even the Cartoon Channel. Well, have your kids sign up to play games, give information. Now they're asking for friends' email addresses. I mean, the article goes on to say websites accused of collecting data on children, which is saying nothing new. This is a technocracy that's coming upon us.
And again, you're not supposed to sit there and ask children for data as an adult, because the parents are the guardians, not the state, because children are not at the age of consent to give data, and these groups are preying on children.
Absolutely. And they got a coalition here of nearly 20 children advocacy, health and public interest groups plans to file a complaint with the Federal Trade Commission on Wednesday, asserting that some online marketing to children by McDonald's and four other well-known companies violated federal law protecting the child's privacy. And groups of...
Well, I mean, crack dealers always go after kids to get them hooked on it, and McDonald's full of all the additives and things that are addictive and toxic. I mean, they're McNuggets, they admit, have silicone in them.
Oh, but
people won't believe that. Pull that up. McDonald's, Nuggets, and a bunch of other fast food has silicone. But, hey, who cares if you have kidney failure? Who cares if everybody's getting diabetes? They love us. It's the same reason they put fluoride.
Yeah, you do.
If you don't give them chemical weapons, you're a bad parent.
And the sites are General Mills, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Subway, another General Mills, Trix World, Turner Cartoon Networks, McDonald's, I mean, HappyMeal.com, Nickelodeon. I mean, this is disgusting, Alex. It really is. And it really disturbs me, because I got a child of my own. And I still got a stack of news, folks.
And again, they go to a free online deal they think's free to play a game or whatever. It's asking them these questions.
Yeah.
It's just like a perv or something coming over in the schoolyard and saying, hey, now let's continue on with the next story.
We got a video on this, if you want to play this in a minute. I just want to touch on parents' concern that cafeteria palm scanners will implant the mark of the beast system on the child's hand.
Oh, just getting training them to body scan, to buy and sell, and now they're coming out with the Facebook cameras where you get discounts when they run your database. I mean, sure, they admit it's all happening, but what's wrong with that?
Oh, nothing at all. That's, you know, it's biometric, our kids. This is from Louisiana Public Schools' decision to purchase palm scanners to speed up lunch lines and payments to reduce the line.
And track what you do. Like, Chicago won't let parents pack their lunch. You got to buy it from the loving state.
Yep, I got that. And this is totally tolerant George Orwellian, folks. And we got the video, if you want to play the video on this real quick.
In its cafeteria, but the palm vein scanner is being met with opposition from parents. KPLT Holly Carter brings us details.
I was very, very mad, disappointed.
Many parents felt that way Monday after reading a letter sent home with their children from Moss Bluff Elementary School. The letter introduced a new program, the palm vein scanner, much like this one, to move students through the lunch line at a faster rate. With almost 1,000 students, Principal Charles Calderera says the system will reduce errors.
We're so large, and with an elementary school, they all come through the line.
Now, here's the deal. They do this for the school lunch program, but also paying kids. It's to track you. It's to acclimate them to be prisoners. This is the admitted plan. You have these school administrators that are told they'll be given federal money if they install these, just like they've been caught using laptops all over the country to watch kids at home. They're school issued that they call free, that are taxpayer paid for. The schools are how they're taking over the community, deliberate dumbing down. Charlotte Isherby, former head of the Department of Education Policy. This is the plan. And the parents are fighting back. Oh, the answer is pack their lunch, boycott their crap, okay? And get your children out of the government training camps.
And this is more disturbing now. I mean, the hand scan is one thing, but now you got right in San Antonio, Texas, the Northside schools, I believe this, the high school and the middle school, right in San Antonio, we got a video for this as well. a new program being tested at some Northside independent school districts that tracks students using a smart student ID tag. And I watched the video. Basically, they have on the Lancet, they have, it looks like a pass, a regular student ID, but has RFID embedded.
They put chips into animals and stuff to track their animals and things of that sort, but I think this is overstepping their boundaries.
It's huge, and I have to wear it like a dog collar.
The program will require students to wear new, thicker radio frequency IDs that will allow administrators to track them on campus.
This smart student ID card is designed to help us locate students in an emergency if we have to. It will also allow us to manage the attendance better so that we can get more revenues for the particular school.
Now, according to the video, they say where the student goes, they can track the child, and they quoted though, they had to state, once a kid steps out that door, they can't track them no more, which we know this could be a lie because look at the laptops in Pennsylvania. And this is, I mean, we got a lot of kids and parents who are against this, and yes, some parents are for this, but...
And notice it's drones, microchips, scanning. It's San Antonio school districts are the ones that have a Department of Defense thing, an AI computer that watches what they eat and calculates their calories. Did you? In fact, people won't believe that. Guys, did you pull up the thing about McDonald's and, okay, show the nuggets, and then, this is from about 6 months ago, just, you know, adding this whole theme here, Dan, there's the article about a little silicone and petrol in your McNuggets, hey, why not? It's addictive, highly toxic, New World Order loves it. But now the Department of Defense has AI cameras watching what the kids eat and creating a database. I mean, this is just, they're absolutely training them for the brave new world.
Oh, it is, and another related article, this is back from November 2009, from my home state, Rhode Island, old Governor Donald Cacciari. Now, there was a bill that was set up to go against the RFID chip, and the schools in Westerly, Rhode Island, wanted to put RFID tags, that's radio frequency identification devices, onto the children's backpacks. Now, a bill went toward, you know, the State House to say, hey, we want to stop this. Of course, the governor says no, veto, bang. And moving on. Again, what Alex is talking about, Harrington High School in Pennsylvania using laptops to spy on kids at home. Now, this is on record. They were giving kids laptops and looking what they were doing in classrooms and also what they were doing at home. I mean, this is to tolerance police state, folks.
Well, these are pervs, too. I mean, this is government schools that want to be inside your life.
And another one article here, children 4 years old to be fingerprinted to borrow school books from a library. I mean, come on. You know, this is just totally ridiculous. And
well, it makes perfect sense. Right, it's super lockup, supermax.
And another fingerprint scans to replace lunch money.
But what's worse is in California and other states, the schools got caught shooting kids up with vaccines without consent. They always say it's an accident. Now they just say, we have a right to and we're doing it. It's illegal, by the way, but they have police with guns. We've now reached a point where they're just lawless criminals doing whatever they want. Continuing.
Absolutely. And now, again, we talked about earlier, Chicago school bans some lunches brought home from school. So, God forbid, folks, you were to give your kid organic food or something that's actually good for them, not fortified with fluoride, not fortified with the GMOs. You know, if you were to give your kid something good, they can't bring it to school.
Well, it was some school districts did it, just a total ban on bringing school lunches. You've got to buy it from the company store, from the plantation.
I mean, it is disgusting. And, the whole thing is what's going on with the children, okay? They are being misled, and I'm not...
Well, yeah, you give them over to a predatory government. The schools are really federally globalist-run, and they've bankrupted everybody, and they take the property taxes, so you're so poor, you got to put them in the public school. I mean, these are just nightmare hell facilities.
It is, and I'm misleading the kids. And I just want to say one thing with Jesus. Jesus Christ, our Savior, says anybody who misleads children, okay, it is better for you to tie a millstone around your neck and drown in the ocean, because that's nothing compared to what's going to happen when you meet the face of God. You know what? You know, I just want to address the elite, CPS and all that. You know what? If you want to do this to your kids, you do it to your own kids, okay? You know, I actually don't do it to any kids, but...
I've had them on the show. They brag they don't do this to their kids. They don't give them vaccines.
But
they love hurting kids.
Leave our kids alone. We had enough of your crap. Leave our kids alone. And we're standing up against you. And I want to say another thing, too, on behalf of myself. The ADL attacking you and all these other federal agencies. You know what? You want to attack Alex? You're going to have to attack me as well. Because you take one patriot, you're going to take them all, brother. And you got a whole InfoWars staff full of patriots who are going to go down with Alex Jones as truth warriors. And, you know, Alex, I'm going to stand right here, right by your side, brother. And whatever they have to bring after you, they have to come after me as well.
Well, there's no future if we don't beat them anyways.
Exactly. So we are going to beat them in the
I mean, we have nowhere to go. There's nothing we can do but fight these people.
Exactly.
We're committed. Yep. They're committed to their evil. We're committed to doing good, and that's the end of it.
I want to say to you, I made a covenant with God. I did. I said, I want to be make a covenant with you to be a thorn in the side of the New World Order. Every my last breath, I lost relationships over this. I lost families, friends, and all these guys say the same thing. But I want to be a thorn in the side of the New World Order, and whatever I could do to do that and to bring the truth out to you people out there, just like Alex does on a daily basis. And I see now, Alex, folks, and I got a lot of people on my Facebook, YouTube and everything. Oh, you're working for a Jesuit. It's like, first of all, you don't even know what a Jesuit is, okay? You're working for Insider, whatever. It's like, if you've seen this guy, what he does on a daily basis, you would feel so stupid. And Alex,
well, most of those are just operatives getting weak-minded people away from the truth. I mean, the truth is everybody knows the world government's here, and we can make it about Alex Jones, or we can make it about the New World Order taking over. And when the gas prices keep going up and everything starts falling apart, remember, the New World Order did it. Exactly. And that's what we're trying to do here is fight these people. Before you read the daily quote here, and we go out to break and come back with the head of the Rutherford Institute with the good news that the Marine who was grabbed by the Thought Police has been released because of everybody's prayers and attention. It's good to have you here on board. You're doing a great job over on the radio side with all the great folks over there, and we enjoy having you, Dan.
Thank you, Alex.
And you know, God's blessing your covenant. I didn't know that you made this covenant a long time ago, but now, see, you're here on a higher playing field against the globalists, and that's what God does.
It's better to be on the front lines of the New World Order than Infowars.com.
God looks at the heart, and that's what matters.
Exactly.
And believe me, if you want to fight evil and you're dedicated and you just start taking action, the doors will open. Absolutely. And I want to say that to people out there watching. Big things have small beginnings. And just start engaging the lies. Start standing up. And stop trying to overplan things. So many people just try to overplan and plan. They have these big plans. They never launch anything. Do something small today, and we'll bring down the globalists tomorrow.
And while you're on that point, I want to make a point to you people out there. Years ago, I started listening to Alex about 2004, 2005. And one day I heard him. I'm like, this guy's great. He's telling a lot of truth. And he says one thing. Don't take my word for it. You have to get up and take action on your own. And I did, right then and there, because all the knowledge I obtained, of studying New World Order and everything else, and what God's given me, I'm like, you know, I'm going to take that. And all of a sudden, a radio show falls into my lap. I become a radio talk show host. I founded our own section of We Are Change in Blackstone, Rhode Island. And I started going going to rallies, putting my own rallies on, protests. And I took action. I got out there. And I got if you Google my name, I hate boasting about myself. But Google
it's an example of success.
Exactly. And it's all, I know you don't like the thanks, but, thanks to you, and most of all, thanks to my Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's the number one thanks. And you also, man. And I know you don't like the praises, whatever, but you helped me to, because it was a fire inside me all my life. I always knew there was something wrong with this world. And you ignited that fire. You said, you got to get up and take action for yourself. You had one of your great rants. And I mean, I just jumped out of my seat. I'm like, you know what? The very next day I went down, I forgot where it was. I think it was a Tea Party meeting. And they were endorsing Sarah Palin. I mean, it just, just lit me on fire. And I went down there. I took action. I had the bullhorn. I mean, it was great. I got this on YouTube as well. And ever since then, I was confronting politicians, doing my own radio shows. I've been on radio shows all over the country. And
it's an example of taking action.
Exactly.
It's waiting for you. Give us the daily quote.
This is a quote of the day, but this is very relevant to what's going on today. Especially take Obama, put him in your head for a minute. Okay, this is from Big Brother slogan from George Orwell's 1984. War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength. Now, Obama preaching war, 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 war. Wins a Nobel Peace Prize. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Okay, he's going around, you have to kill the Second Amendment. You have to kill the First Amendment. You have to kill the Constitution. We have to submit to the New World Order. That's what Obama wants. That's war is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength, and he wants you to be ignorant because it strengthens these scumbags from the elite. And Alex, I mean, I just can't say enough. I'm so happy that you gave me the opportunity to be on InfoWars.
Hey, great job, brother, and it was great having you do part of the news earlier and then, having you over there covering more of it. It was great having Shikari Jackson here, and can't wait till the other reporters start getting in the next few days. God bless you. Great job.
Thank you, Alex.
You bet. Stay there. Folks, we're going to go to break, and we are going to come back with Mr. Whitehead, the head of the Rutherford Institute, with the latest breaking details on what happened with the Marine who was arrested for 9/11 Truth for his speech by the secret police who want this to be a chilling effect against us. Stay with us. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. And welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. For the last 4 days, we've been covering on the radio and on TV the case of Brandon Robb. Darren McBreen, one of our reporters, has now had a chance to talk to the lady who posted the video and the family. And sure enough, he is a listener. People that have talked to him say he's very intelligent, totally cogent, never talked about any violence. And we also have a prominent civil rights attorney joining us, the head of the Rutherford Institute, that tirelessly fights across the political spectrum for everyone's basic civil rights. He writes for a lot of big publications like the Huffington Post. John Whitehead is joining us. And as we speak, as of taping this for the Nightly News, and we may have updates by the time we go live in the first portion of the show, he's being walked down at the psychiatric facility to the lower floor to be released. A judge today, when the Rutherford Institute lawyers went before the judge and pointed out all the violations, did order him released. One reason this is also even more scary is I interviewed yesterday another talk show host who had no criminal record and, again, was a veteran, who said the hammer's coming down in America, I'm going to get more guns to protect myself. He didn't even post lyrics on his Facebook about sharpening axes. So by this benchmark, I could be grabbed. I mean, I've said that we're going into total tyranny. There's a county judge in Lubbock, national news today, said if the tyranny continues, they're going to have to resist a federal takeover. I mean, is he going to get arrested? I mean, this is in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, in the Declaration of Independence, that when the government becomes tyrannical, we have a right to organize and try to change it. And the government's massing with armaments against us. I don't want violence. But the point is, they're going to basically push us into it if they start, like the Soviet Union, disappearing us. But giving us the latest breaking info on this is a real champion for liberty, John Whitehead. He's an attorney and author who's written, debated, and practiced widely in the area of constitutional law and human rights. His concern for the persecuted and oppressed led him in 82 to establish the Rutherford Institute. So he also founded it. And Rutherford.org is the website, a great organization to support. He also serves as a member of the Constitution Project, bipartisan solutions to try to save our Constitution, which no one can deny now. It's just been chopped up in little pieces. They're now trying to throw it to the four winds. So, John, great to have you with us. Let's get into the case, but then I want to talk about your perspective on what's happening with the police state, the NSA, because you're a national recognized expert on that front. Tell us about this case, because you've now been on the inside of it. You came to Mr. Robb's aid and now vindicated that. Please break it down.
Well, it's one of those Orwellian kind of, if you want to use that term, he last Thursday, I believe, about a week ago in the afternoon, he saw some cars pull up in his driveway. The police got out. And there were some plainclothes fellows. They turned out to be the FBI, some guy who supposedly was with the Secret Service. Brandon Robb was in his shorts. So he walked down the front porch and started talking to him, said, hey, what's up? And they said, well, you've written some really controversial things on your Facebook post. And he said he was explaining to him. He said all of a sudden they just surrounded him, handcuffed him. He said, can I get my clothes? They said no. They took him out to a police car, shoved him in the police car, took him to a mental institution where they held him. His mother, very, very good lady, she got on the internet and the Facebook and started screaming about it. And someone, a veteran, contacted me and said, John, this is one of your issues, man. You need to contact the mother. So we called the mother, and she was distraught. She said, I've called everybody. And she says, great to hear somebody wants to help. I said, yeah. And I said, tell me about the case. When she told me, I said, this is nuts. He was quoting song lyrics in a private Facebook group called Mr. I think Dear Illuminati was the name of the group. It was his sister, his brother, and him. And so that's basically it. I mean,
so that's why there's an amalgamation of comments. But I mean, also, I've seen him grab people for other people's posts as well. I mean, go through what happened to him.
Oh, we get these high school kids now that we've helped. They will say a teacher's stupid. The public schools are actually watching kids' Facebook posts on their off hours. So this is a surveillance state. People say the coming surveillance state. I say, folks, it's not coming. It's here. I mean, I just wrote an article. If you go to our website, rutherford.org, it's called the corporate surveillance state. It's on our cell phones. All these groups are giving over all this information to the government about what people text, what they say on their cell phones. So the government knows everything we're doing. But this is really strange. What happened? The police said, we're not charging you with a crime, Brandon. You didn't commit a crime. But they handcuffed him and took him away. And when we called the police, they said, we're not charging him. He didn't commit any crime. So the FBI. So what they're saying is, under the civil commitment law in Virginia, they can pick you up. You haven't committed a crime. They can take you away and put you in a prison. And it's what I call the psychotherapeutic state. That's what we've entered. At least 20,000 people a year in Virginia are committed this way through the civil commitment, and most of them disappear. Across the country, you're looking at thousands upon thousands of people this is happening to. So we've moved in. Most people don't realize this is happening. The only reason we know is Kathleen Thomas, Brandon's mother, got on and started screaming about it, and we got involved, and we did a press release, and I said I was shocked, and we called reporters and got people, and good people like you, Alex, that are covering the story. The press really helped. But well, the amazing thing here is both the left and the right wing were shocked by this one. I mean, he targeted no one. So
yeah, I mean, it was just general stuff.
The judge today ruled, he said, there were no factual allegations to have this man detained at all. So I order him immediately released. So as I walked in the door of this interview, supposedly he was being led down to the lobby, and we hope he's out of the hospital and on his way home.
Well, clearly they're doing this as a chilling effect, because the Northeast Intelligence Network did a report. We contacted the guy. He does have a popular online radio show, and he just said that, you know, things are collapsing. We better buy more guns. I mean, they've had national surveys that's why Americans are buying 2, 3, 4 million guns a month, and saying it's because they're worried about civil unrest. And they came and grabbed him, same story, and said, we're not going to release you until you sign papers, you know, admitting you've got problems, that you'll attend classes and give your guns up. So it's an extrajudicial, outside the system way to target people who they fear. And the profile is decorated, honorably discharged veterans. And we've seen the government say the veterans are the number one threat. They're the new Al Qaeda. That's in all the training manuals. And it's just so bizarre to see this happening. Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I had several nights ago, I had large veteran groups, presidents of veteran groups, get me on the phone at home and say, John, our people are telling us the FBI is showing up. This is 9/11 truthers. He said veterans that are 9/11 truthers are getting contacted by the FBI. They're walking up, knocking on their door and investigating them. This is for free speech. So you said the word chilling? Yeah. What they want us to do is to shut up. They want us to go away. They don't want anybody questioning what the government's doing. And it doesn't matter who the president is, who the Congress is. There is a bureaucracy that's operating in the government. It operates autonomously. There is no rule of law over these people. Occasionally, you will have a good judge like we had in this case, a state judge, a circuit court judge, who said, this is nuts. That's a rare occurrence. But then again, It takes someone like Rutherford Institute to get out there and challenge it. I mean, like I say, 20,000 people a year are civilly committed in this state. And what they told Brandon in his hearing Monday, this is great. He can never own a gun now, but the point is, this is key. He doesn't own a gun anyway. So,
I mean, he's been around guns enough, probably.
Case was, what's he going to do? Poke people in the eye? I mean, what are you talking
about? Well, I'll tell you what, walk through this for us, then what you know happened at the first hearing when you had a chance to talk to him. You talk about how cogent he was. I mean, Obviously, because that's what I've talked to other veterans. You can have no criminal record, business owner. There's no judge or jury. It's these weirdo psychologists and psychiatrists who were put in there as political officers, like in the Soviet Union or Nazi Germany. I'm sorry, a lot of them are like that. And they've got an agenda. And they then, it's not even adjudicate. They just say as a secret star chamber, you can never have a gun again or whatever, or you're on a watch list now.
Well, to give you a real good example, this morning Brandon called me. He said, John, I'm freaked out. I said, what's wrong? Because he's really usually so relaxed. He said, a psychiatrist just visited me. And he said, I'm going to brainwash you and I'm going to force medications on you. I'm coming back. So Brandon, who could call out, got his caseworker, and they called me. And he said, John, I'm frightened. But they have to have a court order for him to be forced.
Well, you know what the guy was doing. He was there to terrorize him so he would act out. Well, I mean, you're an expert, but, I mean, tell us what happened.
Yeah, so at the hearing Monday, they cited some of the posts. And this is the amazing thing. Some of the posts they cited that they were concerned about were said by his brother Brent. They didn't even have their facts straight. So this is poor, poor police work, and I think you said it right. I think that anybody today who speaks out forcefully against the United States government, you remember the Department of Homeland Security issued those memos, right-wing and left-wing extremists, and in those memos, as you noted, the word veterans were used. Veterans are seen as extremists now, and that's unfortunate. I don't understand that. Why we send people overseas to fight wars, and when they come home, we call them extremists, but that's what's happening. So I think veterans definitely are being targeted. I hear that from the veterans groups who are calling me now, and they're frightened.
Now, I interrupted you there, so I want you to start over word for word, please, sir. This is so important. They know that you're challenging it in court. It's all over the news last night. They know the hearing's coming up from my gut experiencing this and tracking it. But tell me if you think I'm wrong. But first, repeat, you know, what you said with all the details, because it's such an important piece of evidence. They know they're going to lose because there's still somewhat of a constitution left. So if they can make him act out and freak out, they can Thorazine him up and say there was some event. Now, that's what my gut tells me was happening there. The guy comes in, tries to psychologically manipulate him. Start over, though. Break down the story and then tell me what you think was happening.
Well, what I think was happening, I think the reason they picked him up, it was, again, he was opposing the government verbally, not violently or otherwise. Today was the first time that we learned, and that happened this morning, today, the psychiatrist came in, and all I know is what Brandon told me. He said that the psychiatrist said, I'm going to brainwash you. This is a licensed psychiatrist. And I'm going to force medications on you. And the reason I think I told him, I said, Brandon, you don't want to do that. That was my opinion. And he didn't want to do it either. I said, what they're going to do is they're going to, if they medicate you, they can manipulate you. And he understood that. He said, I won't do it. But I think we moved in with all these civil commitments happening across, and that's what they're called, civil commitments across the United States, 20,000 alone in Virginia. We've moved into the psychotherapeutic state where psychologists and psychiatrists, whom many, and I know good psychiatrists, but I know some ones that I think are very unqualified. They're running the show now. So you can be taken away, not charged with a crime. This is 1984. This is Orwell. This is Brave New World. And also, I think it's pre-crime, by the way. If you've not seen the movie Minority Report or read Philip K. Dick's novel, you need to, because what they're doing here, they're trying to predict crime. And when you predict crime, as the Minority Report shows, you're going to target innocent people. And that's exactly what they're trying to do. And I think they're trying to sift out a certain group of people. I mean, I don't know. Otherwise, the Brandon Robb case makes absolutely no sense. It absolutely makes no sense.
Unless you realize it's part of an intimidation program, because with the metrics, with Google and other systems, they know the discovery of false flags, where our government's openly running Al-Qaeda in Libya and Syria, where governments are openly caught staging, when the London Guardian's reporting on false flags. All this is really coming out in the culture now, and the system wants to put a chilling effect of, we're going to come grab you. See, the reason I know this is at the G20.
The Rand and Rob case is so important today. It says the First Amendment's still alive and there's some rule of law. And what he's going to do is he's going to give people heart. And I told him that on the phone. But this morning when he was worried, I said, Brandon, man, your story's gone viral. You're a hero. You're making people think. And he kind of laughed and said, that's great, John. I said, so stay in there, man. And that was before we heard about the judge ruling that he should be released.
Amazing. Tell us specifically, because this is so important. From my perspective, and I know you're a lawyer, don't like to speculate, but these are psychological experts. They were trying to panic him, though, saying, I'm going to brainwash you. I'm going to drug you against your will, trying to get him to explode. I mean, that's...
Oh, yeah. I think that's exactly what they were doing. They were trying to prove that he should be in there. They don't want the system disrupted. I'm looking into it now, but I assume they're probably getting some kind of federal grant or some kind of money for the patients that are put in the hospital. So they make a lot of money off it. If people don't realize, like, police on marijuana bus for people with having a joint, they're doing SWAT team raids. They get federal grants per raid. There's money to be made by the governmental establishment off of putting people in jail. And, you know, I've written another commentary people should read called The Overcriminalization of America. What we're seeing is there's so many laws being passed that the average American, I've been told this, probably doesn't realize that they're committing 3 felonies a day, which means you can be put away. But the dangerous thing about this case is they arrive and say, you've committed no crime. They surround him, arrest him, and put him in a police car and take him away. That is so far out. Like I said, 40 years of constitutional law, this is the first case, I think, that gives me the creeps.
Oh, listen, there's a prominent UT professor and also psychiatrist, who's called for me to be locked up for my speech. So, I mean, a lot of these guys, it's like a powerful new priesthood. And it's not the first time this has happened here. We know about Russia and Nazi Germany, but look at Ernest Hemingway. He said, the FBI's harassing me. They're listening to my phones. After he later was dead, it came out they were, but they involuntarily committed him and gave him electroshock to brain damage him because he was a leftist and they didn't like that. So this is not the first time, I mean, that this has been going on.
Oh, that's been going on for years. Remember they wiretapped Martin Luther King's phone. The FBI sent Martin Luther King a letter saying he should commit suicide or they will release details of his private life. John Lennon, the Beatle, they had a file on him 10 feet tall. They didn't like his anti-war activities. The government's been doing surveillance for years. The difference now, however, is they have amazing technology, as you know. Obama passing the signing into law that the bill in 2015 is going to allow drones to fly over the United States. Police are already getting the drones ready, drones that can see through the walls of your home. What we're facing today is the loss of total privacy. We're living in a surveillance state. We're already in a police state. People say the coming surveillance state. I say, dude, it's already here. They're already reading. I mean, you know about the NSA's facility in Utah. It downloads 1.6 million bits of information from the internet every day. It goes in electronic files about us. We're innocent people. And, you know, that's why, as a civil liberty attorney, before the government does surveillance on you, they need to have credible evidence you're doing something illegal before they come to your home and arrest you like they did Brandon Ross.
Instead, they're doing giant dragnets. I know you've got to go here in about 5 minutes. So finishing up, other points you'd like to get to, we have the founder and head of one of the preeminent and best civil rights groups out there fighting for basic freedom. John Whitehead is our guest. I look forward to getting him back on the radio, not just TV, very soon. My final question, and I want you to, you know, again, cover any tidbits you think are important. Talking about the hearing, talking about what happened in it, specifics of this judge repudiating this Soviet-style snatch and grab.
Yeah, well, it's a very short order, but what he said, this is going to come back to me on appeal, this case, but I'm not going to wait till the appeal. I'm deciding now. I've looked at the petition, and he says, and I have it right here in front of me, he says, and I'm reading from it, the petition to commit Brandon Robb is devoid of any factual allegations that could not be reasonably expected to give rise to a case or controversy. He said they don't have any kind of case at all. I ordered this man to be released immediately. So we're talking to the Brandon and his mother right now about filing a civil lawsuit against the government for damages. This should not happen. They put them through a trauma. I mean, a psychiatric hospital psychiatrist threatening him. The government should pay up on this and pay this family well.
Well, we really, again, appreciate what you're doing. I mean, more and more, almost every day now, I'm having defense attorneys, constitutional lawyers on, because that is one of the only groups that knows what I've researched. I'm not even smart. I just research the news. And all the things I've researched and upset about, the general public still doesn't really get how far down the dark path we've gotten. I mean, I'm getting chills right now, but when I talk to constitutional lawyers and defense attorneys, they know they're seeing the police trained to lie. They're seeing the culture of total surveillance without warrants. They're seeing dragnets. They're seeing just an absolute overthrow. And then I see messages all over TV and culture, in popular culture, demonizing defense lawyers and constitutional lawyers. I know you must have noticed it.
50,000 SWAT team raids that we know about each year in American homes, many of them without warrants, going through doors for people having an ounce of pot. That's a police state. Wake up, America. That's all I can say. It's here. You better start taking strong stands. You better get out here, get up off your butts and get away from watching entertainment on television, get the news and get out here with your picket sign, call your congressman, get active. Or folks, it's over in a very short time. That's my opinion.
Wow. And every constitutional expert I talk to says the same thing. I had a lawyer on the radio today, and he was a former police officer, and he just said it is unbelievable. I mean, it is.
Yeah, I have police officers call me, older ones, and say, something's happened to the police, John. The mentality's changed.
Well, they've militarized them. I mean, I hear it all over the news. The civilians need to do what they're told. The police are civilians. I mean, unless the police have become a paramilitary occupational force.
They are a standing army. I've argued that for years. The same thing the Founding Fathers fought against. They said standing armies are dangerous. The police are now a standing army, yes.
What do you expect to happen next with the civil suit? How is Mr. Robb handling it? You know, we talked to some of the family, and they were, I guess, a day ago or so, and they were scared.
Yeah, I don't know exactly. I think they're going to move forward with a civil lawsuit. We're going to talk to them this evening and make that decision.
What about this psychiatrist, abusing their authority?
We're looking at that as well. Yes, we have his name. We're going to check it out. Yeah, we're still collating the facts. We've been in the case a week. It's moved so fast. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I was surprised the day the judge ruled this way. Usually, as I tell most people in America, the courts are not courts of justice. They're courts of order. This guy here delivered justice today. He's a rare gem, let me tell you.
Well, I think what's happening is the choice is now here. The evil and corruption and tyranny is so clear now. No one can deny it. And what I'm seeing is people are choosing sides right now. And I think that's why the system is panicking. The darker forces in the system realize that there's a quickening happening. Do you agree with that statement?
Oh, yeah. I think that there is a concern that something's going to happen, yes. Or you wouldn't see the drones flying. The drones are already flying over the country.
Right there in Virginia, Joe Farah, the publisher at his rural home, had one right over his house. I saw one coming into work 2 weeks ago, stopped, yep. Even found the operator. How do we support the Rutherford Institute? Because, you know, people for 15 years have been buying organic food. Now we have organic food in more stores. You know, our dollars or our advocacy or what we promote. How do we support groups like the Rutherford Institute?
Yeah, when we take a case on, we provide the legal services free. We exist off of donations. Without good people giving us 25, 30, whatever people can give, but we pay all the expenses. So that's how we do it. Donations.
Well, I mean, I'm not knocking the ACLU. I mean, they defend some things that I don't think are rights, and then they won't defend things that are basic rights. But I know you guys, you know, you write for LouRockwell.com. You're libertarian. You defend the left, the right, the center, everybody. And that's why I mean, I'm just saying, I think you guys are where people should give money. You guys should be 100 times bigger, because I follow news, and it's Rutherford Institute. It's Rutherford Institute. It's Rutherford Institute. It's not the ACLU. Were they getting concerned about this? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Finally, they contacted us. ACLU do some good cases, but like I say, we take everything that concerns the Bill of Rights. I don't care what the political leanings are of the people. So we're pure nonpartisan. Whoever needs help, we give it. And if people want to donate, they can go to Rutherford.org. That's Rutherford.org. And we can always use the help.
And last point, why is it named the Rutherford Institute?
I named it after a fellow named Samuel Rutherford, who was a Scottish political leader and divine, who wrote a book called Lex Rex. It was called The Law and the Prince, and he challenged the divine right of kings. He said, kings don't make law. They're under the law. They should be under the rule of law. They publicly burned his book in the streets of England. They accused him of treason. The only reason he wasn't executed, he died before they could get to him. And he has a famous statement. On his deathbed, he looked up and said that the king of England in Parliament, he was going where they could never go. He was talking about heaven. So he was a really defiant individual. I thought it was a neat guy. He stood for the rule of law. The government is under the law, not above the law.
Wow, amazing. John Whitehead, we'll talk to you again tomorrow when we have a clearer update on the radio. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Amazing interview. Wow. I'm telling you. And I would get lawyers on like that 3 years ago, and they'd say, oh, it's bad, but not that bad. Everybody says this is it. Aren't you getting chills out there? This is it. You let evil take over, folks. It floods in. The whole history of humanity has been slavery and degradation. There's been small little periods where people were a little bit free. And that little bit of freedom we're about to lose. Believe me, as much as they hate the First Amendment, can you imagine how much they hate this show? It's your prayers and your support that keeps us on the air. We're going to go to break and come back with Dr. Steve Pachinik with breaking news on the economy and more. He's got a lot of inside scoops on what he thinks is going on politically inside the Obama administration, you name it, a lot of geopolitical news, updates on Syria, in-depth interview with Dr. Steve Pachinik, who overthrew multiple governments, was arrested by Assad's dad. Pretty interesting fellow. That's coming up for the final segment of this Thursday edition of InfoWars Nightly News. I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code, water, to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name. We are now joined by Dr. Steve Pachinik in our final segment, and we've got several huge issues to cover. Number one, they are back with more bin Laden lies, saying he was, you know, killed a year or so ago. They're in Pakistan, and now they're publishing books saying that they didn't get Pentagon authorization or Intelligence Committee authorization to publish them. From what I know, that's impossible, but we'll ask Steve Pachinik about that. We'll also talk about massive record suicides. 28 veterans are dying for every person dying in combat. Unbelievable. And we'll also talk about Obama's statement, you didn't build that, because I know that Dr. Steve Pachinik is a big supporter of the entrepreneurial spirit, kind of the Thomas Jefferson idea of the craftsman and the yeoman farmer, and I want to get his take on that and the whole election. But first off, we couldn't have somebody on better to talk about this headline in The Guardian. Osama bin Laden killing book by SEAL Team 6 member raises eyebrows. No classification information will be betrayed, publisher says, but they didn't get the clearance. Well, you're not allowed to do that. I mean, I think this is government getting a pass here, but we'll get Steve Pachinik's educated take on this, because he has written a bunch of best-selling books, some of them that I know obviously had to get vetted. He's helped write a bunch of Tom Clancy books. His films have been turned into TV shows, movies. He really needs no introduction. He's a frequent guest here. StevePachinik.com is the website, and you can go there and learn more. And he joins us via telephone today to jump into all of this. Steve, thanks for coming on with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Alex, and the reason I came on today, and I want to thank your audience, is that you're developing an incredibly informed audience from what I'm reading in terms of the blogs and the Internet, and I'm not just congratulating, I'm congratulating for what you did 10 years ago when it was first stated, and I said after 9/11 that this was a lie. It was a false flag, it was a stand-down, but basically Osama bin Laden was dead. He was dead because he had Marfan syndrome. Now, everybody's tried to disprove that he didn't have Marfan syndrome. The problem that the intelligence community that created this under Bush Jr., and by the way, Bill Clinton started this, because Bill Clinton had already sent a doctor to see bin Laden 6 months before 9/11, Dr. Dooley out of the CIA, to see how bad he was. He was dying at that point. And the point that I'm getting is now Hillary is the one who says, or in another book, by a guy named Manette, claiming that she was the one who encouraged that bin Laden be killed by Obama, which is absurd, because Hillary can barely get her husband away from fornicating with other women, letting alone the President of the United States to kill anybody. So let's go back to the lies. The first lie is Osama bin Laden is dead. He has been dead, was dead, and is dead. There's never been any evidence of his body, a video, forensic evidence of an autopsy. The intelligence community, State Department, and the President of the United States never refuted my statement. Having worked for five presidents, I stated it categorically. Having still been involved in the intelligence community, the military community, I maintain that this has been a serious lie that has been the crux of corruption of both our military and intelligence community. Why do I keep saying that? Because a man by the name of Alex Jones, whom I didn't even know, took that statement. And I said something that was even more important, and you broadcasted it again, and I go back to you, Alex, and that was a year ago, you repeated my statement in which I said, I predict, this was done after 9/11 and 9/12, I predict that not only is Osama bin Laden dead, but he will be resurrected by the intelligence and military community at the exact date when we pull out of Iraq. Because that was the only excuse that we, the United States, had that was contrived and concocted entire intelligence community, the CIA, MI, the military, and a combination of civilians to justify a war for which we had no reason to go into and created by Cheney, Bush Jr., Rumsfeld, initiated by Clinton, that was not, and then continued by Obama. So what do we have? We have a lie that basically unwinds the entire presidency of three different presidents, Clinton, Bush Jr. for sure, Bill Gates had to come in, and now we have a president who comes out of Chicago, out of a corrupt machinery, who is handled by a man by the name of Axelrod, who his own Wikipedia claims that he had, his particular strategy is to be able to package black politicians for the white audience. That's his specialty, as he states it, who has helped committed criminals, indicted criminals, Mayor Daley, to get through patronage problems, and is helping now Obama, who has no history of anything, no history of his birth, no history of his record, of his schools, of his health, where he went to school, and now he claims that the sole reason he should be reelected for president of the United States is because he ordered SEAL Team 6 to kill Osama bin Laden. And on that day, you re-recorded, you recorded what I had said 10 years ago, and I said, the president is lying. Not only is the president lying, but everyone behind him, and that means John Brennan, who is was CIA, was his director of national security, was Clinton's director, was underneath Bush Jr. So you have men who have continued and perpetrated the lies, but no one has stopped it. No one has stopped it. Then you have Donlan, who's national security advisor. No one stopped him. Nobody stopped General Dempsey from saying this is a lie. Or McAllister, who is the head of SOCOM, Special Operations, who's the head of the Navy, an honorable man. There are military generals and CIA officers who have complained that this lie cannot continue, and they've been reprimanded repeatedly by Martin Dempsey, General Dempsey, whom I confronted over a month ago. I can't tell you where. And asked him, when does a general in our American military stand up to civilians when they do a wrongful action against the Republic? He waffled off of it. And the same thing with other generals. And what's happening now is that lie has not only unwound the integrity of our military and our intelligence community, it is unwinding the validity of an election system, which is so valuable to the Republic. Whether you're Republican or Democrat, you, Alex, are owed a lot of gratitude, and so is your audience.
Doc, hold on for just a sec. Don't thank me. This is all about survival, and I know you don't like to have your...
No, it's not about survival, Alex. We won't confront that. It's about one man who stood up, and that was you. And by chance, I happened to find you. We didn't know each other. And by chance, you came back to me because one man in Austin, Texas, I didn't even know where you were. But the point of fact, it's not about you and me now. It's about an American public. Let me read you the blogs that I read. An anonymous person has written a narrative. This is the new book by an anonymous man talking about the killing of Osama bin Laden, the SEAL Team 6 that's coming out by Dutton, and September 11th. If that is not the most cynical piece of work I've ever seen by a publisher that is cowardly, Dutton, greedy, which I happen to know exceedingly Dutton, a division of a company that I know is very greedy, Berkeley, where I worked for and I had books done Putnam, and I happen to know the president, David Shanks, who was in court, basically admitted that he was a coward with regard to me and the books that he had.
Well, Dr. Brechenik, let me just stop you. Let me just stop you for just a moment.
Go ahead.
Because you're just, I understand you've got a million things going on, and I'm not being patronizing here.
No, I know. You want me to focus it
on No, but I'm not being patronizing here to the audience, but there's an IQ gap going on here in that we've got a lot of smart people. I think I'm somewhat smart. You're super smart, but you're, we didn't get into your whole bio and things because you don't like to get into it, but it's important for the whole story that you ran psychological operations for the State Department. You've helped bring down governments. I mean, so you're definitely an insider, and you're just dropping bombs here like, hey, I confronted the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff about this. Hey, other generals know this is bull. And when you say they sent CIA doctors to treat bin Laden, that was even in CBS News. You're not... You're just moving so quick here, but let me just back you up. They've now admitted that the Situation Room photo that you said 2 days after it happened was fake. They admitted months later it was a fake photo.
Around. They could be watching I Love Lucy, but they certain was a raid.
Sure, they staged it. They lied. They weren't watching live satellite feeds. The point is you were... The whole thing's a lie. Now,
Osama bin Laden being killed. It's not possible to watch a man who's already been dead being killed twice. I don't know that.
Exactly. But just going over these, there's some new things, though, that I wanted you to address. And you just kind of warp speeded over them. It's okay. Now they're saying Hillary gave the order and Obama didn't. So they're changing it again. And what I think, but you understand this better than I do, they never let anybody publish one of these books, especially this, without it being vetted. No. Now they're claiming, a publisher's doing it. We don't need to have it vetted. I think they basically wrote this. This isn't even a real SEAL team person. That's why they say it's a nom de plume, and that this is, again, them distancing themselves when they really put it out.
I think I know exactly where you want me to say. Let me say number one so your audience understand. I have 26 New York Times bestsellers, all fiction, except for one, which is about women, hidden passions. When I write about any of the activities that I was involved in, I don't. I write fiction. And why I write fiction is because I had a secrecy law. Having worked as a deputy assistant secretary, I didn't work for the CIA. I had a military rank, but I didn't work in anywhere where I used information that I was involved with in any of my books. What I did was to create fictional characters that were composites and events that were composites. Op Center is a composite of the world situation. And by the way, by the time I wrote those, I was 10 years out.
Who was Jack Ryan a composite of?
Now, Jack Ryan was based on a character that I lived, and that was Tom Clancy who developed it. Because initially, he was an analyst of the CIA, and then eventually, as Tom Clancy and I worked together, he developed more and more of the character based on what I did in Panama against Noriega. And
so that's what I thought. Jack Ryan is you.
Well, in part. I can't say that, nor will I. I mean, Tom is a very creative individual. He is a very fanciful. He's got a great sense of humor, and he's got a great Irish wit. So I can't say I'm totally Jack Ryan. I'm in part. The stories are based on what I did in hostage negotiations. But, in fact, none of our books, either Tom's or mine, or 26 novels, have ever been in a classified situation. But on top of that, I think it's important for the audience to understand, and I'm glad you corrected me, that every publisher has to vet that book so clearly that even when I made a reference to something 150 years ago that the Delanoff family was running opium in one of my books, that's 150 years ago, into China, that was canceled out. So the fact that this book is being published without the consent of the Defense Department is at best ingenuous and at most a lie. General Dempsey is lying. I will boldly say to you, he is lying.
This is their book they're putting out.
Bannon is lying. But it's more serious than that. And Dutton is lying. What makes this a terrible lie, and Dempsey went out of his way to reprimand ex-CIA and ex-Special Forces men who have been heroes in our cases. And by the way, people have to understand, I worked with a Special Force. Most of them do not say anything. They work 24/7, 365 days a year, and their life is compromised by this book. And that's the terrible part about it. And Dempsey never said a word about it. Brannon never said a word about it. Donlan, nor Panetta. They have been cowards. They have been professional, self-aggrandizing individuals at the stake of our serious, valorous veterans who are dying out there. Most special forces never tell you what they do. They, by the way, they aid other countries. They're on 24/7 endlessly. Remember General McChrystal? He just commented about the fact that he didn't think the White House was that effective. He was fired the next day. Now, you're telling me that a book that's written by a special guy, supposedly, in SEAL Team 6, which should have kept their mouth shut because the head of the special forces now is McChrystal, an excellent rear admiral who should have clamped this down immediately, and General Dempsey should have clamped this down.
They're being ordered by the president to do it. So what do they do at that point?
Well, if they are ordered, they're not cowardly. Then we have a politicized military, which is what I'm afraid of, and that's what you're saying. If our military is politicized, it should be fired. Dempsey should be fired. Brannon should be fired. Panetta should be fired. Donlan should be fired. And the National Intelligence Office. because we cannot have a company.
Sure. But pulling back, what does this signify that they're so
military and intelligence service?
What does this signify, Dr. Pachenik?
It's not safe.
What does this politicize that they're doing all this stuff? I mean, does it signify that they're amateur or just reckless?
It signifies both. What it really signifies, with all due respect to you, and I know you won't believe this, they were afraid of what you and I had said 10, 12 years ago. They can't get over the fact that you brought back, with all due respect, and you're not in danger, with all due respect, you came back with a prediction that I made 10 years ago that the day we leave Iraq, Osama bin Laden will be pulled out as a narrative that is supposed to justify what happened.
Yeah, you said he'll be thawed out off of ice, and then in the election 2 years later, the word was they were going to do it then. But then they had Madeleine Albright, Walter Cronkite, and Teresa Hines Carey all went on CNN in 1 week and said, they have him, don't roll it out, Bush. Don't use that card. And the word is he went back basically on the ice. I mean, this is just incredible that they would have the nerve to play this card.
Well, what it does is it insults the intelligence of the American people. We're not dummies. I'm not here to glorify myself, but I'm not here to even say it. I'm here to state very simply, I have been in the business of serving our country. I still offer my services for free. I find this reprehensible, not because it's only a lie. It degrades the service of honorable men and women who are serving our country, are now in the field, both in the intelligence and the military field, whose lives are at stake. Every time you say we killed Osama bin Laden by some hotshot, make-believe SEAL Team 6, some special forces guy is going to be taken out because some real terrorist is really going to kill him to make a point that special forces are not that special. And at the same
That's
time,
right. You've
it's
made,
distorted our intelligence.
It's made the special forces the absolute plum target to go after.
Correct. And it's made it even worse. Now, Dutton has no excuse whatsoever for having given a contract that they knew they could not vet out the author. They said, this is more absurd, they said that the author brought his own lawyer to vet out the issues. Now, that is so absurd. There is no publisher that is stupid enough to allow the lawyer of an author, if there is such an author, to vet it out. So you know
because that lawyer wouldn't be privy to all the national intelligence information. They couldn't vet it.
That is correct. And also, it's conflict of interest. Dutton needs their own lawyers. Penguin is a very major house. But what it shows you once again
it
is
shows you that the White House ghostwriters wrote this because they couldn't get SEALs to write a real story on something that didn't exist. They've already blown up two of the helicopters. This is just pure fiction.
Well, no. It's not only fiction. Fiction can be detrimental. This is cowardly and greedy on all parts. On our military side, you're cowardly because we have generals who are afraid they can't continue their promotions or get their pensions, and they can be fired very easily. If I were in charge, I fired generals. I fired CIA operatives when I had five administrations, and the president's backed me. But you have a president who really cannot do very much now. And you have a president who has a White House that has been servicing, Brennan was servicing Bush Jr., Clinton, and now Obama. And you have Hillary Clinton, who's put in Panetta, who was Clinton's chief of staff and a congressman from a walnut congressman.
Totally political.
Never really had military experience, who's now in charge of our military and was head of our CIA. Now, you don't have accountability here. What you have are men without integrity, without professional expertise, utilizing a political expediency and narrative to manipulate the fears and concerns of our country while we have bigger issues. For example, we have 28 veterans dying every month here, committing suicide while one veteran is being shot in Afghanistan, Iraq, and our military doesn't concern about it. For months I've been writing, fire General Shinseki, another useless general. Least professional general I've ever seen, the head of the VA. He said, no, I increased my staff from 10 to 20,000. He had no idea. Meanwhile, my psychiatrists around the field are saying these guys are dying by the caseloads because the treatments aren't correct, the nurses, the management incompetent.
Well, I was about to stop you. I was about to stop you, Doc, because I want to start over here. You are uniquely, because you've worked in intelligence, State Department, you've got multiple medical degrees from what Harvard and other universities, and I mean, you were the former, you know, head psych warfare guy for the State Department, which we all know is above the CIA. So explain to the viewers, with, you know, from your expert opinion, why we're seeing record suicides.
This is the first time. Listen, let me explain it so they'll understand. I'm a psychiatrist by training, trained at Harvard. I had a PhD in MIT and international relations at the same time, not because I'm that smart, but because Harvard wasn't that great. The reality, I was a board examiner. That means I examined other psychiatrists for 10 years. I flunked 60% of all psychiatrists coming through on a simple question, which was, tell me what you see in front of you in terms of a psychiatrist and the patient, and if you can't give me a differential diagnosis, you're out. And I flunked them. And I was threatened that if I don't pass them, I'll be in violation of EEOC. Well, I left. I said, I'm not bringing any of these psychiatrists. For years, I kept saying to our military men, the Veterans Administration, where my friends are major psychiatrists, are telling me soldiers are dying right and left, committing suicide at a greater rate than we had ever seen. Why? Because this ungodly war, which was not justified, created by Clinton, Bush, and maintained by Obama, we're forcing our soldiers to go through not one rotation, which is what we may have done in Vietnam or what I did, two or three rotations overseas. We're going through four rotations with minimal amount of rest. We're forcing their families to talk to them on the television, on the Internet, telling these soldiers who are brave enough to go to four rotations, hardly ever seeing the enemy, who have concussions from IEDs, electronic devices, never seeing an enemy, being shot at repeatedly 24/7 to come back and tell us they're okay. And instead, the military has refused to recognize these are not just psychological problems or psychiatric problems. These are what we call brain damage problems or traumatic brain injury. And almost every one of them, if you do an MRI, a resonant imaging of the brain, you will see scar tissue in almost every one of these soldiers. But our Veteran Administration says, no, no, a lot of them are fake. A lot of them are just malingerers. And our military refuses to respond to them. As one soldier said, listen, you could train me to kill people in 6 months, but you can't get me in to see a doctor in 365 days.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you next.
That we have now in America.
Amazing. I want to bring that up right now because... Okay. Because some of them are serving 6, 7, 8 tours. I was on a plane with a military police officer who was flying his dead buddy back. You know, so they had the coffin on the plane, and they had the police cars and the you know, mayor, everybody meeting it to take it out to Fort Hood when I flew back into Austin. And I said, how many tours? 5, 6? He goes, no, I'm starting my 8th. And he said, now military police see the worst duty because we're escorting, you know, the vehicles and things that are being bombed in Afghanistan and Iraq. He'd been in Afghanistan, but his best friend had been sent to Iraq and had just died from an improvised explosive device. And so they're just sending him through this over and over and over and over again. But then I wanted to ask you the question. Sergeant Bales was going to his 4th tour. He'd lost his family, had a breakup over this, had been arrested by police, freaking out. His foot had been almost completely blown off. They stuck a prosthesis on him and ordered him back to combat. So I've never heard of an army where your foot, 2/3 of your foot's blown off. And then the psychiatrist put him on serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which the insert says under stress can make you, you know, not have compulsion control and start going crazy, you know, causes suicide and other things. And then he sees his buddy get IED'd and killed that day, and then he goes out and kills 18 people. And burning children and stuff, you know, in some type of hallucinogenic psychotic break. I mean, you're a psychiatrist. Does that sound right, what I'm saying there? Just common sense? His foot's blown off. He's got a fake foot running around doing this duty in Afghanistan. I mean, this is insane.
I agree. Listen, I don't know the specific cases, but the cases are mounting up with a certain pattern, Alex, and this is what your audience knows and understands well. Each one of the members of your audience has a son, a daughter, or a friend who's been involved in Iraq and Afghanistan. It's a tragedy. Our military, we had a motto in the military, we never leave anyone behind. Our generals have left our soldiers behind. There is no excuse for General Dempsey to reprimand any one of our ex-soldiers and veterans and special forces and CIA saying that we shouldn't politicize this kind of nonsense that came out or politicize the fact that we have veterans who are dying at the rate of 26 per each one killed overseas.
Or 28.
We have 6,000 veterans per month who are being deactivated 4 to 7 rotations, and there's no place to live. They don't have the benefits, and the military has said, we're doing the best we can. They give them a treatment program called virtual imaging, which my ex-medical school, Cornell University Medical College, had the audacity to show that this could be a treatment. Now, you don't have visual images of bombing and get desensitized to it when, in fact, you have brain damage. We're not spending the money. We're not giving the amount of time that we need to treat these soldiers effectively and get them out.
Sure, well, Bales is the guy.
They should never have been in Afghanistan. I asked the President of the United States, why doesn't he send his two daughters there? Let him understand what it means instead of keeping them in a private school. Why not send Bush's children in there?
Sure.
Cheney's lesbian daughter he's so proud of to go over there and fight overseas to see what our soldiers have to do and deal with. The issue now is that we have politicians who've lost their legitimacy. They've lost their legitimacy as really caretakers of a republic and a democracy, which we men fought for. I had PTSD in one of my rotations, but it wasn't a military rotation because I worked as a singleton overseas. That means you work alone, you're continuously under stress, you live under stress 24/7. And it was months on end, and when I came back, I had swollen hands, swollen feet, I was totally irritable, and I had to see a doctor. There's nothing shameful about it. But it is a real problem. And that was one rotation. I've been out over 8 different years on rotations where I had to come back. But I had the affordability because, number one, I was a doctor. Number two, I could go to the doctors at the State Department, and they could handle that problem. But I've never seen such an atrocity now.
Sure.
Not only is a lie made a mockery. Mm-hmm. I mean, the lie that we killed Osama bin Laden. We didn't kill anyone. That man was dead. And that our presidents would continue these lies in order to justify their selfish political careers, in order to justify that they had to come into power where they've done nothing, and instead our economy's going down, our men are dying, and our infrastructure.
Well, I have one more question for you on that front, because I heard you take a double take, but we put them up on screen, mainstream news articles with artificial legs ordered back into combat, not just part of the foot blown off, whole legs ordered back in, even when some of them don't want to go back. But it's funny you mentioned the head injury, because they admit the body armor keeps you alive, but messes up your brain. It turns out that Bales, you know, that went crazy and went and killed reportedly 18 people in one night off base, he had been in multiple IED attacks, including ones where whole armored vehicles were thrown over and people killed. So he clearly had brain damage. And so now they're going to put him behind bars when he was clearly doing this by reason of insanity. I mean, and I'm not trying to get him off.
I don't know the specific case, but it's not unusual. In other words, most of these men who've gone to war, number one, they don't see the enemy. Number two, they often hit indirectly by either concussion bombs, IEDs, and they literally have a concussion of the brain, not once, not twice, but several times. It's like a football game that never ends, but with serious weapons. And basically, your brain is damaged. You can have every serotonin inhibitor you want, but unless you have psychiatric treatment for the rest of your life, not virtual imaging or desensitization or nurse telling you everything's fine or there's a problem in your family or some veteran in the VA telling you that it's not working well because they increased the number of managers. They didn't fire General Shinseki, who should have been fired years ago, for the criminal activity that he's had. And this was a veteran, a man who lost his war in Vietnam, his leg. And we took care of him. But the answer is he's not taking care of our veterans. And this president really doesn't care. Neither does the vice president, who, by the way, has two aneurysms in his brain. That's what accounts for a lot of the stupidity that comes out of his mouth. But the real issue right now is our country has to address these issues. And unfortunately, we don't have politicians. Why? Because most politicians, as I explained to you, I've treated many congressmen and senators, are basically people, mostly men, who are fearful. They're not able to do anything on their own. They go into a system which is based on manipulation and basically pandering, and they're fearful to come out and do something that most Americans do, which is to create a job, to sustain something for themselves, much as you did, much as I've done. I mean, I've started different companies many times. I failed many times, like a mechanic, like a farmer, like a truck driver who has his own business. I just ride on the road, and I love to see my truckers because that's their business. They're hauling freight. They have to worry about the oil. They have to worry about the infrastructure of the truck. The politician has no idea. They're passing laws that they have no idea. They're taking care of health-wise, mental health. They can see the doctors they want in Bethesda Naval Hospital anytime they want. They go on junkets and vacation, be it Paul Ryan, be it Biden. Any one of them has that. The only one who's had any experience has been Romney. He had to go out in the real world. I'm not saying I'm for or against him, but the reality of the entrepreneur is that they have to go out and create their own businesses.
It's funny you raise that, Doc.
I shouldn't vilify politicians, but there's no way I can respect them.
Sure, sure.
I come here not to bury Caesar, but I come to praise the politicians who really lived in a cocoon, in a socialized system where they have been treated, and they deserve to have a 10% approval rating. That means America has to rise again and say, this is not a system that works for us. And it's not working for us in the military, in the intelligence, the executive branch, or the legislative branch. And as one brilliant analyst once said, he said, our political and economic elites have failed this country. And that's what I'm afraid of.
Well, they certainly have, but it's interesting that you raise that point about the weird bubble cocoon of ninnying and sycophantic behavior where Congress exempts itself from its own insider trading laws, and where it's prostitutes, both male and female, are ubiquitous like water fountains. I mean, it's a total disconnect. But it's funny you raise that about entrepreneurs. I wanted to ask you that question. What do you make of Obama? Because that is such a disconnected statement that I find it frightening. It's one of the few things that actually really got me concerned, that the system is so over the top now in la-la land, that they're saying you didn't build it. If you have a business, you know, you didn't write those books, Steve. You didn't when you infiltrated foreign countries or got people assassinated. You didn't do that, Doc. You know, if I get up at 6 a.m. and start researching stuff, or I work 18 hours a day, or I paint an oil painting, I didn't do that. I mean, that's what Stalin and people said and Lenin said before they took, you know, the Ukrainians' land and killed 10 million of them. I mean, that is an amazingly open, authoritarian, North Korean-style la-la land, that you didn't grow that crop in North Korea. Kim Jong-il did it.
Well, I'm not going as far. I know about Kim Jong-il. I know a lot about Stalin. Obama is no Stalin. Let's get it correctly. He's not even a communist. He's not any political spectrum. He really comes out of a system that's called Chicago politics. And I think you want to really understand Chicago politics, the Mayor Daley and the henchmen who came out of there, the Donlins, the others who grew out of the Chicago politics. And it comes out of patronage. It comes out of corruption. But some of it worked. Now, Obama has no history. It's a man. It's the X-Man. He has no history. He has no coordinates. The only coordinates I can tell you about that I feel comfortable at is, number one, his mother was a CIA operative in the 1960s. His grandfather on his mother's side was a CIA operative. And his grandfather on his mother's side was also, and grandmother and grandfather were both CIA operatives. As to where he was born, I don't know. As to the visas, as to why he has restricted history, should never have been allowed in this country. Everything about a president of the United States should be transparent. He has not been transparent. All he has been is a lot of verbiage with very little action and follow through. Now, that may work in Chicago. It does not work in the United States of America. To accuse him of a communist or being a North Korean, that's absurd. I don't agree with that.
No, Doc, hold on, because you're on cell phone and you can't hear me all the time, because it's one way, basically.
Right.
I mean, it's a figure of speech. I'm saying I've heard and read.
But I don't want him in any way to be put in a narrative which really doesn't delineate the real issues of Obama.
No, I hear you, but I wasn't, Doc, I wasn't technically, I wasn't technically saying he works for the North Koreans. I'm saying,
I know what you mean.
I'm saying I've read the North Korean literature where they say the state makes the sun come up in the morning. And what I'm asking you as a psychiatrist, what type of mindset, how do you have to be so disconnected to not know that would piss everybody off in America who's ever had any type of business, either large or small, to say you didn't bake those donuts, you didn't build that? I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, that's correct, Alex. But let me go back to the bubble I talked about in politicians. He is the pure political animal who has no history, no coordinates other than his own narcissism, which means his own self-love, his own willingness to manipulate and lie to achieve whatever he needs, not any different Democrats. They both have the same criteria. His own need to pander at times when he needs to pander, you know, treat me nice, give me this, and I, in turn, will give you whatever you need. And then he has the ability to continuously distort reality. So what do you call that? In many terms, we call it sociopath. In my world, because I treated congressmen and senators, I call that a politician. By birth and by nature, politicians are sociopaths. They have to be, because they have to lie and distort their own histories, their own accomplishments, be it Republican, Democrat, right-wing, left-wing, it doesn't matter. The Stalins of the world, however, believe it or not, they're more real because they're going to kill you right in front of you. They say, I'm going to kill you, they kill you. Kim Jong-il says, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill you. They're very predictable. The Obamas are not real. They're detached from the United States. There's a quality about Obama, and I'm not saying anything about his birth, that he is not really connected to America. He doesn't understand the American values. Let me explain what I mean by that. The American values that I hold, and I think you hold and most of the audience holds dearly, are entrepreneurial values. We're not big companies. We're not big banks. We're not big finance. This is not Soros. This is not J.P. Morgan Chase. We're not Goldman Sachs. We are little business people, who little meaning anything below $500 million or below, where we build our own businesses and we live and die by what we create. When we create something, we want to profit from it. When we fail at it, we want to try again. The beauty of the American experience is not that we succeed, it's that we can fail and come back again the next day. Obama doesn't know that. He doesn't understand it. Donald doesn't understand it. Brandon doesn't understand it. There's not one man in that White House or woman in that White House who understands it. What they've had is pandering, and many of them had affirmative action. That's fine. I did not come in on affirmative action. I wasn't born here. I had to learn this language. I had to get scholarships. I had to go to a school. The irony of all I'm white, okay? I'm a Caucasian. The irony is between Obama and me, one of us went to private school, and guess who it was? It was Obama. I went to a school called Booker T. Washington on 108th Street in Amsterdam. That was an all-black school. I was a minority. I didn't get to a private school. I had to earn a scholarship. Among 2 million people, it was called the Regency State Scholarship. What made America great for me was I was allowed to try the best I could on merit to earn out of 2 million, 800 of us earned a scholarship to go to Cornell University. They didn't care whether it was white, green, or blue. All they cared was that I could score on a certain score. Then I went to a Cornell Medical School on a scholarship. Then I went into the military. I have not seen any. This is the first time in 83 years of our election that neither man has ever served in the military. Whatever I can say for Obama, I can also say for Romney. Where was he during the Vietnam era? Why didn't he go into the military? Why did John Huntsman, who had a similar background, serve our country 4 to 5 times and had 2 sons in the Navy presently, yet not one of his 8 children, boys, have served in the military, nor did Romney? So the question becomes is, what are our leaders coming to? What is the political elite that we so-called cherish? They're willing to spend billions of dollars, but none of them address the issue.
Well, doctor, we're almost out of time. I want to hit a few other final points, but what you say is fundamental. In every culture, the royalty, the ruling elite, had to go out and be in the battle, and cultures in serious decline were always marked by emperors off in smoky, you know, ballrooms, partying and having orgies, and you only see that happen right when an empire collapses. And we do see an elite who rah-rah, war, who absolutely run from it. All the neocon chicken hawks, to a man, ran and got deferments and staged things not to get into combat. Right. And I think it really is one of the signposts showing that we have, I agree with you, I mean, even these murderous dictators, Stalin robbed banks. Stalin actually worked his way up in a bunch of killer communists to the top.
That's correct.
He's
You're
evil.
Right,
he's evil.
That's right.
But, I mean, he's
That's
evil, correct. But you've got to respect him because he's real.
Yep.
These are just empty teleprompter reading jellyfish, and that's what makes them so dangerous because now they're so amoral, they're publicly using Al-Qaeda to go in and kill the Christians and people in Syria. And have you seen the new stuff where they've got the guy torturing him to make him go suicide bomb? I mean, it is just unbelievable how immoral the ruling elite have gotten.
Well, the key issue now is whatever you and I have said, I still believe in the American dream and the American people. Unfortunately, no one has articulated. I'm just a small businessman who served my country. That's it. I'm proud of it. I'm proud of what I did. I'm proud I can stand up and say I don't agree and I disagree. That's what allows me to stay in this country and to fight. I'm no more brave than anybody else. Somebody said to me, how come you're not afraid of getting killed? Because in my world, that's not what the issue is. In my world, if I don't stand up for someone, then somebody's not going to stand up for me. That's the American way. But do not use our men and women to go to wars that we don't need. And don't bring them back and then treat them as cripples when in fact they need to be helped, and give our entrepreneurs a chance to grow in this country. We're a wonderful country, but we don't get that sense. We don't need this kind of leadership. And I'm going to the young and to the youth and to your audience to say, I want you to express yourself once again on the Twitter, on the internet. Defy what they say. Question them. Keep on doing what you've done, Alex, because you've become a very important thorn on the side of this entire politicized intelligence and military community and the elites. Believe me, as much as they call us wacky and, you know, right-wing or whatever, they cannot avoid what we're doing. All of this that's happening now, Alex, quite frankly, is because of what you did 10 years ago. This is what the intelligence community can't get around, because the minute I said that was a lie, and I predicted 10 years from now that would be used as an excuse, Osama bin Laden.
You did.
They have to contrive all of this nonsense and spend billions of dollars because of thanks to a man called Alex Jones.
Oh, no, but let's just, well, thanks to you, but let's just stop right there with my final question because it's incredible. You're leading into each point before we even knew I was going to get there. All over the country, radio talk show hosts with even good-sized audiences, we talked to one on the radio yesterday, and this other Marine who had no criminal record, combat veteran, honorably discharged, the Rutherford Institute, we had the lawyer on earlier, got him out. They're having 20,000 involuntary commitments now. And they said, because he said 9/11 was an inside job, that he was mentally ill and came with the FBI and grabbed him. Now after a week, they've released him. But the point is they're doing this to veterans and taking their guns now, and it's a huge chilling effect. So I want to ask you about that and psychiatry as a tyranny. And then I want to ask you, why are we still alive? I mean, what you said earlier, that quick gestalt, is true. People think I'm trying to scare them. No. I believe people have courage, and that if you know the truth, you'll want to make preparation for it, as Patrick Henry said. I believe that if I have courage, it will spur others to have courage. And I believe that if they kill me, I don't want to die, but that's a good death, because these are a bunch of degenerate scum. I mean, I don't understand people that say they could come get us. They're going to get us if we don't stand against them. They're going to get us if we don't stand up and fight. I fear the fear. I fear letting them win. And that's not courage. That's basic survival instinct. For me, that's a default position.
Well, yeah, it's true, but on the other hand, one voice in the dark, as you said, no matter how you said it and how loud, is a defiant voice. What the system, remember, it's not one person who's going to come. The most dangerous person in the world is never the group. It's the man alone or the woman alone. Ibsen wrote it about the master builder in one of his plays, and that's what you are. You're the man alone. You happen to build an audience of 10 to 15 million listeners. The intelligence community listens to you. The White House listens to you now. The military listens to you. And they're afraid. And remember what I said to you, politicians and military men who all have to be in groups, by nature they're fearful. So the only way they can promote themselves is not by claiming that they're greater or better. They have to suck up to someone else. It's always being pandering to the top and being dominant authoritarian to the bottom. And that's the nature of the systems. And so, in fact, when the individual can defy the systems and they claim that 9/11 is an inside job and they get put in psychiatric hospitals, then we're going into the Soviet system, where they're starting to use that again, by the way. The Russians are starting to use the psychiatric hospitals for Soviet dissidents, which is what I wrote about in my first book, The Mind Palace. If America starts to do that, there will be violence in the streets. What the system doesn't understand is that we still have the Second Amendment. We still have men and women who have fought for our country, and they're not afraid to fight.
Let me ask you this question.
We're not France. We're not Italy. We're not Spain. We're America. And the system is beginning to understand that if they push us too far, there will be bloodshed in the likes of which they have never seen. The fear they have of me has to do with the fear that I know each one of them. I know where they are. I know how they move. I know where they're going to move. They know that. But also is that I don't fear them, nor do you fear them. The answer, the American can no longer fear the TSA agent who goes in and takes the product from his or her luggage or steals my, for example, drugs, and they're not brought accountable. We have a whole system now out of control.
Sure.
The TSA, the lowest level of people giving the highest security, screening us for a terror that doesn't exist.
Sure.
It's absurd.
Let me in closing ask you this, because right before you came on, my wife talked to me for about 3 minutes during the break, and we got home yesterday and noticed the door was open to the house. We live in the country, and the alarm hadn't gone off, so then I said, well, you know, so obviously they want to know us to know they've been in the house. And then she noticed the air conditioner wasn't working, but it was on, so she had the air conditioner company come out. And he's a guy that installed air conditioners, you know, a year ago for us, so, you know, he's a listener. And he goes, I want to show you this. And he went in there and showed her in the crawl spaces. Somebody came to my house and cut through the tubing that sends the air conditioning, the central heating cooling. What kind of message is that to break in my house and then go in and cleanly slice in crawl spaces the air conditioned hosing? I mean, what is that?
Well, I don't know what that is, but are you in fear? Are you monitored? Of course you are, Alex. So am I. I mean, you
no, but I mean,
I
if they
that.
Think that scared me, I mean, wow, I must. I mean, it kind of feels good, actually. I mean, whatever they do, I guess they got to do it. I mean,
right.
What do they think? That's it's like a riddle for me to discover it and then find out they were in my house. I mean, what does that even mean?
Well, first of all, let's be a little bit more objective about who they are. Most of the systems, the FBI, the CIA, all of them, they're good people. They're some very good people. They're not interested in doing anything in monitoring Americans or doing anything but their jobs. The problem is you've got the bad apples and you've got the politicized ones who are self-aggrandizing, particularly in a military that has more generals than we have soldiers. It's out of control. Our military-industrial complex is out of our
control.
But,
I mean, you were a former psych warfare head of the State Department. What does breaking in someone's house and cutting the thinly slicing, you know, the shiny tinfoil-style, you know, tubing that goes through the house, whatever you call that?
From a psychological warfare, if I were somebody doing that, it wouldn't do very much. If I had to take down Alex Jones, I would shut you off on the air. That's what I would do. But I don't think they're going to shut you down, Alex. You have too big an audience.
You know, my gut tells me it's some kind of government watchdog type group, you know, groups that the government has that watch extremists. My gut tells me, because they've been talking trash about me lately, that that's the type of stuff people would do. I mean, it's probably some non-governmental merc minion group is what I think.
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, you live in Austin, Texas. You've got a lot of high security jobs there. You've got a lot of military industrial complex. But also, you have a lot of people who care about you and your welfare. So I think you're going to be surprised how many people in the intelligence, the military, and the security world really care about you and will protect you. And that's not going to happen that easily. But My point is that we're still coming to a problem where we have political elites that are not consistent with the quality of what we need in America. And we need people who care about this country, who serve this country, and then can say what is the truth, what is required, and just be very practical without needing to self-aggrandize, to lie, and to send men to war for their own self-aggrandize. It's as simple as that.
It is. Well, you know, in the final equation, anything else you'd like to add, Doc? We really appreciate you and your time.
Yes, I have great faith in my country. I have great faith in the American people and those who listen to you and those who believe in the Democrats, the Republicans, and the fact that tomorrow we are able to fail, get up again, and start another business. And God bless this country and God bless what we do. But we're not stupid. And I have a great faith in our country and our ability to say, you know, all of this stuff about Osama bin Laden and the election and the books is nonsense. And it's degrading. And they will eventually react to it. You look at the blogs. You listen to the Internet. You see what they say. Avoid the TV. Avoid the rest of the nonsense. And you will come back to the truth. And I have full faith in you. And I appreciate what you do, Alex.
Well, I appreciate you. And thank you for giving me your take on that final issue. I know it sounds wild. I can't even figure out what the point.
No, it's not, Alex. It's, you know, you live a life which is filled with a lot of excitement, and there's a life of also some danger. I mean, that's part of the price you pay for what you do. You know it. Your wife knows it, unfortunately, and you and I know that.
I find it exhilarating, though. I guess that's kind of sick in a way.
Not really. I mean, that's better than riding in a NASCAR car around than 200 miles an hour around a racetrack. So that's better. You're in much better shape than you like to tell me, Alex. You're very healthy, Alex.
All right, Dr. Pachinik, stevepachinik.com. Please join us again soon. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you, Alex, and thank you, audience.
All right, tell him thank you. Guys, that's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. And you know, I was sitting there thinking about, should I talk about this? Because we're like, why is the door open? Why did the alarm not go off? And then we learn, well, the air conditioner's on, but there's no AC. And the guy comes out and goes, somebody's cut your AC. The thing's in the walls and in the ceiling. And I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I don't know what that message is. Okay, you're in my house. That's great. I mean, you know, and I got an iPhone right here that I know you're listening to. Just what a bunch of sick criminals, man. You people are nuts. And I would just add, the people above you, they hate you. I mean, they're putting fluoride in your water too, Jack. So we've definitely got their attention, though. And it is so strange to really realize that we are one of the few groups that really has our finger on the pulse of what's going on, and that all this stuff is unfolding and coming true right in front of us. And we're living history. I don't know how anybody wouldn't be blown away right now by just people that say they're bored, who say that life is boring, and that's because you're watching television all day or not reading what's happening in the world or not involved. There are huge world events taking place right now. By the way, by the time you see this, it'll probably be sold out. You can go to InfoWarsShop.com or InfoWars.com and try to get it. We printed an extra 40,000 of these, thinking that would, well, 20,000 at first, thinking it would be enough for people that wanted to order them at cost in bulk. And we sold 20,000 out in like a day, and now we've sold most of that additional 20,000 that we did have. So go check InfoWarsShop.com, and if it's still up there, because it's computerized, it'll know when we're out. That'll still be there, and you'll still be able to buy it. And that's it. I can't print more of the first issue. 50,000 on the streets of Austin. Now an additional 40,000 printed just to mail out to people in bulk because our shipping department can't handle it. So that's it. I mean, that's, if you want a free e-copy, sign up at InfoWars.com/newsletter. That's InfoWars.com/newsletter. And we will continue over the next few days to send out a free copy with a daily email blast that has videos and breaking news to your inbox. Because you can, the way the digital system works is you can even turn the page. And you can like zoom in on things. You can click on links. So it's not as tactile as being able to touch it. But Web 2.0 is here. Rome burned. Will we? Economic collapse. Peace. And I want to thank all of our guests. I want to thank the head of the Rutherford Institute, Mr. Whitehead, I want to thank, of course, Dr. Steve Pachinik. And I want to thank our first guest of the night who was in studio after I did the news, good old Dan Bedondi, one of our new reporters. He's also over there helping produce the radio show with Chris Alanis and CJ and, of course, John Bowne and all of the great crew that's here. We got Jakari Jackson on camera because that's how it works. Everybody does everything around here. And if they kill me, you guys are going to be in the command seat, so get ready. And I've got my will ready, and all that stuff's being been set up for that. And it'll be a real victory if they kill me. That shows it because that'll wake up a lot of folks. I don't want to die, but we're definitely moving in the right direction here. All right, that's it for InfoWars Nightly News. We'll see you back on the radio tomorrow, 11 a.m. Central, Lord willing, and right here at night.